For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We your number one spot. We your number one spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two, we in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spot.
Let's go, baby. We in here. Hey, hey, hey.
Yes, sir.
We starting the show a little bit different. That boy Bruce is in the building.
Come on, man. We got legends
what's
in the house.
What's happening?
We got legends in the house, man. Come on, man. Stop playing.
Hey, man, I came here a little early on purpose. You know what I'm saying? Because I just really got tired of waiting. That's look.
No, that's
I'm going to go in here early. I'm going to make them put me on. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm an international player.
That's, brother, you have been doing this long enough
long
to where
time.
You show up. We doing the show.
That's I appreciate it. That, too, because y'all laid it out. You know, KC, he kind of smooth, man. Yeah. Watch him, man. Yeah. I won't even bring my side girl around here. He would get her. That joke was so smooth. He walked out. Yo, what's happening there with that guy, right?
Hey, man, I'm showing respect to the legends, man.
You know what I'm saying? But it's almost like this dude be at church, got all the women. You don't even know he got her. You know, he walk up, God is good. They start shouting.
Hey, I got one, man. That's all I
that's
got.
It.
I got
that's
one.
All you need.
That's it. That's all I need in life.
I can only handle one. That's it. I seen a brother in the airport, man, from Africa, Nigeria. Very unattractive, man. I say. He was very unattractive. Oh. And he has six wives with him. I'm like, bro, how do you do it?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Six wives. Yeah. And he was unattractive now. He must have some money. Oh, the brother was got a cold out your eyes. Do you hear me? That's how ugly he was.
Oh, but man.
He said, I know who you are. You hosted BET. But he had six wives. I said, brother, you the man, because I cannot do it.
Yeah, that's...
Woo!
I love my wife. I love my wife to death.
Oh,
I couldn't imagine five more of her.
But I can understand.
Hey, you get... Man, dump that.
No, but I'm saying...
I don't need her to hear that.
No, I'm saying, like, I'm good. Yeah, her.
He wanted her. He said, I love my wife.
Five?
With all my heart to death. She had to hear that. He put that
to death. Five? And then she probably said the same about me. Like, I couldn't deal with five of you. Like,
everybody say that about you.
Everybody say that about
you. Just five people that you gotta deal with, live with, and like that's a lot.
Six wives, you got six different personalities.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You know what I'm saying? And one get mad, they all get mad. So you got five women in the house, man. And imagine you have kids by them. And they got girls.
Oh.
I had a buddy of mine, he was from Nigeria. His dad had eight wives. He had 8-9 kids by each wife.
Oh my God.
And then his dad ended up passing, so he had to move back to Nigeria to help the mothers with all the brothers and sisters.
Man.
He was a personal trainer, man. He had like 2% body fat. He used to cuss his people out, you know, when they can't do what he want them to do. You are in shape. They're not. Quit cussing them out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You can do this. nobody never showed back up.
He couldn't keep a client.
But he was excellent what he did, but he just quick temper.
Yeah.
How different is the game now? You've been doing it for
so long. It's
different,
man. Let me tell you something. I'm going to be honest with you, D-Lo. I'm going to be honest. If we did social media 35 years ago, it'd be crazy. Social media game is winning. People talk about the social media comedians and what they do. I don't care. They are winning. So if you can't beat them, join them.
Yeah.
So I join them. All the young dudes that got the following, I be taking pictures with them because I want you to follow me too. You know what I'm saying? But that's what it is. They work that phone, man.
Yeah.
They work it, and it works for them. So keep doing it.
And that mindset that you have right there from somebody our generation, I'm going to say around my, that's the way to do it. Because it's like you can't buck the system. You can't fight like what's going on. It's already happened.
Right.
So if you want to survive, you gotta be able to adjust to that.
I've been doing this for 30 years and they've been doing it for 3 years and they got all, well, okay, get with the program and let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's all about. It's all about social media. Even now, management and agents, they like, no, how many followers you got? They ask you that before they even want to represent you because it saves a lot of work for them to do.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, I got 10 million. Oh, really? Hmm. Listen, this is going to be a great company we're here with. They're going to sign you up
because
they don't have to do any work anymore.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And these young dudes, they're funny, man. It's different. Like, it's not necessarily stand up on the stage and tell a story. They got their skits. Some of them are corny. Some of them are corny. But some of them are, like, legit, like, make me laugh.
Yeah,
like,
but some of them got what they have, what you see. That 10 minutes, that's all they got.
Right.
After that 10 minutes,
right. Then,
you know, when you get on stage or when you see somebody on stage, I want you all to remember this, both of y'all. When somebody starts saying, man, we need to take care of these women and these kids, they got nothing else to say. They don't have another joke in mind. Man, we got to start taking care of these women, man, these kids.
They're
man.
Done.
We got to be
tapped
fathers.
Out of that.
They tapped out. They got nothing else to say. So I'm telling you all the secret. When y'all hear somebody say that, just get your girl and say, hey, come on, baby, we going to go. He ain't got nothing else to say. Just walk out the club.
What's left? What else do you want to do? We talk about guys who've done it all.
Oh, man, I did everything. But I'm going to let you all know, May 3rd of this year, 2025, I am doing my new Netflix special.
There we go.
It will be in Chicago at a theater called The Vic. We're doing two shows in one night. So if you all in town in Chicago, come see your boy. Because everybody's flying in just to see me do this Netflix special.
What's up.
And I hadn't did one in 15 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I think I ain't going to wait that long. I'm going to do another one in like 2 years. So,
okay.
But this one, May 3rd, Chicago, Illinois. The Vic, that's the name of the theater. It's going to be called Stay in Your Lane, Bruce.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Now, I look at you as the king of comics.
Well, that's true. That's true. They
the
voted
king
me off.
Of comics.
I supposed to have been a king, but they voted me off. No,
nah,
we ain't going to let him do it.
You the king of Comic View, man. And it's such an iconic show.
Oh, yeah.
And it birthed so many great comedians.
It did, man. And
did you know at the time like how iconic that was going to be?
No, I didn't. Only thing I know, when I did it that year, when I saw the numbers, I'm like, are you kidding me? Because it just started elevating. It started doing real good. So I was actually trying to let them, we had a meeting. I said, just let me host Comic View every year. Like they did 106 in Park. You remember AJ and Free, they were doing it every year. I said, let me just be the host and then we can keep these numbers up. But they wanted to switch and they had promised other guys they would host. But if you notice, the year after I did it, Arnaz J did it. But they brought me back to help him.
Mm.
I don't know if you remember that, but the numbers was great. And that's when I had my man, who was, rest in peace, Ronaldo Ray, who was really my mentor. And man, he was just telling me different things to do. And it was crazy because it was working. You know, like, he said, look, when you go on stage, shift your body to the right. Don't turn around, just go to the right and tell your joke. And I'm like, what is this going to do? And it worked. I'm like, whoa. So when you got experience and you can see it and people say, just listen.
Yeah.
Man, this dude helped me through so much, man. So that's why every time I hosted Comedy, I had him there with me because he would critique stuff and be like, no, don't do that. Don't say this. Don't do that. And when I do exactly what he say, it slams.
He was a coach. He was like Phil Jackson or something.
That was my man, man. Yeah. That was my man. I can't even lie, man. Because he came up with Red Fox, Richard Pryor, Bill Cosby, all them. So he just helped me out a lot, man. Mm. And I made sure they took care of him.
They don't know the name Ronaldo Ray. It's, you want some too, old man?
Yeah.
No. That's it.
Okay.
That's
even
Ronaldo
know the
Ray.
Name.
On
Friday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Tiny. You want some of this, old man? No. That was him, Ronaldo Ray.
Do the young brothers come to you like Ronaldo?
Of course. 85 South. You know, Chico Bean and Carlos Miller. And DC Young Fly, and also Desi Banks. They all call me all the time. Say, "Oh, gee, what should we do? Should we do this? We do that?" I say, "No, don't do this. Do this. Do that." And they get it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They're good kids. They're funny, and they're making money.
You know, the thing that I like about that, though, is while we talked about how the game is different, they do a lot of skits and stuff like that for social media. Those guys reaching back out to you, it seems like they want to understand the craft of being a comedian, being on stage. And that's where something like that never gets lost.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because even though the game has changed a little bit where they might do some skits and all this other stuff, you still got to know how to get out there, get on the road, get on stage.
Got to know the basics. You got to know the basics. I learned years and years ago. I was looking at James Brown because when I was a kid, I was a James Brown fanatic. And James Brown said, just go out there and grab him. He said, once you get him that first 30 seconds, you got him. He said, you can do anything after that. And he's right. So I tell the comedian, go out there and grab him. Don't go out there, you know, man, we need to take care of these kids, man. These people, don't go out there with that. Go out there and grab them and get it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because once you grab their attention, you can say anything. Mm. They're going to listen. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I enjoy it, though. I enjoy dealing with the younger guys. I always tell them, I say, just a couple of things you got to keep straight. That's your business. Make sure you pay your taxes. Hmm. And make sure you take care of your family.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the key thing. And you'll be all right.
Yeah.
You in that rare era where you did, like, you guys talking Comic View. You did Def Jam.
Oh, yeah.
The Apollo. You hit every major stage.
Everything, man.
That comedians would want to hit. Like, comedians can't hit the Def Comedy Jam stage today and it be what it was back in 1993, 1992, whatever it was. Like, it was a different monster when you were coming up.
It was straight monster, especially with the Apollo. And then one thing about the Apollo, it was in New York. So if you weren't from New York or you weren't from Philly, you weren't from Jersey, you weren't from Connecticut, they didn't show you no love. You know, this brother from Atlanta, oh, this country jokey. You know, you from Alabama. And then I walked out, I said, look, I might be country. I said, but I got something for you. Because Steve Harvey had told him, so listen, I'm going to let you know right now, y'all need to put your seatbelts on because this one right here you don't want to fool with, you know. And I went out there and, dude, oh, man, this country dude. Boy, I wore him out. Rode him like a Jordache horse. You hear me playing? You remember Jordache. But it went well. When I got their attention, they're like, whoa, this dude is serious.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you got to go get him. You can't be scared. Just go get him.
Yeah, man. Straight up. Like Short said, let Bruce.
That's right. You know, too short lived in Atlanta. You know, and, you know, him and Lil Jon. You know, first, Too Short did Shake That Monkey.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It was like, all the skinny girls let Bruce get it. Yeah. Then the Ying Yang came back with Lil Jon, said, get crunk with it, get loose with it. Like Short said, let Bruce get it. And that's how we do in the South.
Yeah.
Like, we just show love, like, for everybody. Show love to everybody. And that's what it's all about, because it's money for everybody.
And I just said the lyric because it's iconic, number one. Yeah. And I want to ask you, I mean, obviously you're already famous.
Oh,
but hearing your name in a song that was so prevalent, well, two songs that were so prevalent at the time in the clubs, did you see, like, an increase or a different demographic locked into Bruce?
Yes, and with the women. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Hey, the big girls, what's up? Nothing. What we can do is look at a workout tape. That's the only thing we can do. Because we can eat and you get that last biscuit, it's going to be a problem. You know what I'm saying? I want the biscuit. Don't you grab that biscuit. But let me tell you now, I'm going to tell you all a secret so you all know. No, Biggie put me on a song. And people don't realize it.
What song?
It's Hypnotize. And you have to hear the song. And I can tell you when the verse come in, but Biggie did it first.
Okay.
And people, when they hear it, because when I did a show in New York with the Breakfast Club, and they said, how did you feel when Biggie put you in the song? And I didn't think they knew it.
Yeah.
And I said, well, man, I opened up for Biggie back in Jacksonville, Florida, back in the day.
Mm.
And I was doing it was a rap show, but I hosted the show.
Okay.
And Biggie wanted to see me, and I wanted to see him. I'd never met him. So I'm on stage clowning. I'm joining people, clowning. And he went outside, you know, came back. He was right. You know what I'm saying? He said, I swear you're funny for real. You know, that's my word. You know what I'm saying? Bro, you need some NyQuil. I don't know what's going on. DayQuil or something. And he did, man. So, you know, when we get a chance, I want you to play.
Now,
you know,
that's the first thing I would do.
I want you to hear, man.
Yeah,
I'm going to tell you when it come in. It's at the beginning of the song. And people, they miss it.
Uh-huh.
But if you listen to what he say, you know what he's talking about.
Okay. Yeah, now I can't even get past it. I'm trying to think, okay.
Yeah. I know D-Lo got it.
Yeah, get your boy.
Yeah, we getting there.
I mean, D-Lo a bad dude, man.
Oh, come on now.
Yeah, bad dude.
You know, that's a legend.
I know it, man.
That's a legend.
Light skin, good looking. You know what I'm saying? They ruled the '80s and the '90s. Light skin. Woo!
Hold on, man. Hold on. What are we doing here?
Come on. Oh, you can't hear it. I forgot. Hold on.
I learned something today.
I feel like a baby that can see right now. Like, yeah, it's crazy.
Like a goo-goo and a gaga. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
That is, come
and
on,
it was
man.
Crazy because he told me, like, I'm going to put you down for real. You know, when people say,
yo, that
like,
impression
oh,
is killing me.
Like, whatever. You know, that's my word, you know. Oh, you know, bro, I'm going to get you this Dayquil. I got something in the car. I want you to take it. But he did, man. And, I never forget, I'm breaking this up. You remember the Def Jam 25th anniversary?
Mm-hmm.
DL and Dave Chappelle was hosting.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Dave was up there clowning and everything.
Yeah.
And I saw Puffy. I did. He was there. And the first thing he did, he didn't even speak. He put both his hands together and he bowed. He said, you are the king, man.
Mm.
He said, people don't realize it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you're the man. He said, Biggie loved you.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he showed me love, went on, but you know, I never been to the party.
I was gonna say he didn't invite you to a party after that, did he?
I can't go to the party. Yeah. No. You know, I'm from the hood, man. We start swinging in there. You know what I'm saying? Boy, I do a windmill in there. Let me tell you something. They think I'm Spider-Man in that bad boy. Yeah, man. No. We don't play them games. You know what I'm saying? We old school, man.
Yeah. You know, the correlation between that though goes to that time, right? Because Biggie, one of the biggest rap artists of all time.
He was, man.
You're on Comic View.
Yeah.
The symmetry between just BET, right?
Yeah.
Like, because the basement. Like, that's where we got a lot of
Absolutely.
Our stuff. So Biggie looking at you like, I watch you every day or
Indeed,
I watch you
man.
Every night. And you looking the same way. It's the symmetry that, because things are different now, I'm not saying it's better or worse, but things are different. You don't have a BET where everybody convenes, so to speak.
Right, right.
Where, you know, you may not get DC Young Fly linking up with Kendrick or something
right.
like that. You know what I mean? So that's interesting
and
that's how that went out.
With Biggie, see, Puffy knew when he got Biggie, he knew he had something because before Biggie, it was Craig Mack. You remember Craig Mack?
Yeah.
Craig Mack. Puffy just dropped Craig Mack for Biggie. It was like, Craig Mack was the man.
The Mack attack. It was supposed to be both of them.
Yeah.
When he saw Biggie, he's like, oh, look at man, take care of yourself, man. You know, he just dropped him.
Yeah.
You know, and that really hurt Craig because Craig Mack sold 5 or 6 million just in New York.
Yeah.
Just in New York alone.
Yeah.
You know, so. And he was a cool dude. Different looking. He was different.
God bless him. God rest his soul.
Come on now.
Yeah.
You look at him cold, run out your eyes. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Cold is
different looking. Come on.
God rest him. He's rest in peace. You know,
yes,
Craig,
sir. Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, it's a lot of rappers in New York that sold 7, 8 million. You know, CDs, but you don't know them nowhere else.
Yeah.
They make it just in New York. So, come on the West Coast, you're like, who is this?
So we have this discussion all the time about French Montana.
Yeah.
And he's what you talk about, right?
Yeah.
Like,
it's not from
nationally France. Out here, like, French don't really have that much of a following, but in New York?
In New York. Mm-hmm. And he's not from France. I you know. It's a brother.
I'm not sure where the French Montana
Don't speak a lick of French. Yeah. But look. I don't know if he do or not, but he's not from France. He's not from Paris, you know. And in New York, though, he's the man. They love him.
Yeah.
They love him, you know. But in Atlanta, they'd be like, who?
Right.
See, Atlanta's straight south. So, you know, when you got Outkast, you got Goody Mob, you got UGK. That's the south in Atlanta, you know. Ludacris, T.I. See, I know all these guys. I know them.
Jeezy. I love Jeezy.
Oh, yeah. Jeezy's
a bad dude,
man.
All these dudes in Atlanta.
Yeah.
It's the same thing, though, right?
Yeah. Like Atlanta's the joy, man. You know, like when I see Goody Mob, you know, all of them just show me love. You know, I'm like their big brother. I'm a lot older than them, though, you know. They young fellas, you know. I'm an old school player.
See, that's the thing, though. Like all those guys, when you at the top of the food chain like that, you were talking about Craig Mack and Big a second ago. Those two didn't get along.
No,
like,
not at all.
Those two were vying to be the one. Do you did you deal with that in the?
I knew a lot of people that hated me. But I just kill them with kindness. I knew a lot of them didn't like me. I did what what's happening, baby? You know, I go up to him like we partied together. They cannot stand it. They can't do nothing but speak. What you going to do? I'm not speaking to you. I'm like, what's up? What is like? What is going
on? I'm not talking to you. I'm jealous.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I used to go in comedy clubs in L.A. It was the Improv in L.A. right on Melrose. It was the Improv. Been there for years. Been there about 50 years. And I can, when I walk in the door, I can see him whispering, you know, I said, what's up? I said, I see y'all talking. I said, and I miss one. I said, have any of y'all been up yet? They'd be like, no. I said, well, I'm going up. You might as well go home. I used to pick on them because I let them know if I go up, ain't nothing else left.
Yeah.
And I did it to get in their head, you know what I'm saying? Because it don't take all that. You ain't got to hate me, man. Why don't you just be my partner? I can help you.
Yeah. Now, I'll ask you a question. I'm going to ask you to remove yourself because as a legend like you are, just a talent like you are, mm-hmm. you're always going to put yourself, you know, up there as your favorites, right? So remove yourself. Give me your five favorite comedians.
Okay.
They didn't even have to be the best. Just your
okay,
five favorite.
Okay, my favorite one is Tommy Davidson. Tommy Davidson.
Did you miss me?
Makes me laugh. Tommy Davidson makes me laugh out loud. And let me give you some more. Tony Roberts. Tony Roberts, he's from Detroit, but he lives here.
Yeah, he does.
He makes me laugh out loud.
Yeah.
Mike Epps, who I train,
okay,
makes me laugh out loud. Now, of course, we all love Richard Pryor. We all love Bill Cosby. We all love Red Fox. But when I grew up, I liked Milton Berle. And people thought I was crazy. I'm from the hood, and they're like, man, you like Milton Berle, the white dude? You know, I'm like, yeah. You know, I'm going to tell you why I like him. He was quick. He was witty. Mm-hmm. He was fast. If you ever look at the Dean Martin roast, they'll talk about him. He'll sit there and laugh. But when he got up, it was over. Mm-hmm. He destroyed everybody on the panel. Milton Berle was, man, they call him Uncle Milton.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of my favorite comedians in the world. Of course, I love Richard Pryor.
Right,
you
right,
know what I'm saying?
Right.
We knew Richard Pryor. But my uncle was the funniest dude in the world to me, man. My uncle was 5 feet tall, about a 97 in the waist. Look like an egg with a belt on, you know what I'm saying? But that was my partner, man. That was the funniest dude, because, man, he was funny, man.
Yeah.
And he was just my dude. He taught me about life, man. He taught me about everything, how to treat people and being nice. He had a slogan. He said, the only thing free in life is being nice. That's the only thing free. Mm-hmm. Don't cause nothing. Mm-hmm. And that's how he was, so. That was my dude.
You know, one of my favorites is, man, and thankfully he's got like some pop culture moments that'll live for it. Robin Harris is one of them.
Man. Only thing about Robin didn't like comedians that was funny. If you was unfunny, he loved you. But if you was funny, he don't want nothing to do with you.
Really?
Yeah. It's a lot of that, man. They look at you sideways. And,
yeah.
Because they want to be the funniest dude. But there's so many funny guys out here and women. Yeah. So you might as well face the music. Yeah. Look at Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart worth, what, $700 million now?
Mm.
At one time, he wasn't doing it like he thought he should. He was getting ready to quit the business. I said, no, you can't quit. You got to keep going. Look at the next year.
Mm-hmm.
Look what happened. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So sometimes you need that push.
Yeah.
You need that push to just make it happen.
It seems like so much of comedy is inflection. Like the thing I remember so much about Robin Harris is his delivery was just so weird.
Yeah,
it was like dry, and it wasn't like he was doing comedy. It was like he was just talking trash to you.
He was. He was talking, and you could not talk him. You be in a club and you yell at him, he gonna tear you up. He used to kill Robert Townsend. Used to kill. Kill him on stage. Robert would yell out something, he would wear him out, ride him like a Jordan's horse. You know what I'm saying? So he was the man, man. Robin Harris was the man. But he didn't like you. If you were funny, you look at your
side. And so much of Kevin Hart is inflection. Like, it's his over-the-top delivery of stuff that makes people.
Kevin just repeat himself. He said, it was two dudes. It was two dudes down the street. It was two dudes, but that's how you do.
Yeah.
So he builds up on the joke.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I just go get him.
And I love that about comedy as well, is just the different styles.
It is.
Different ways of telling the story.
If everything was the same, it wouldn't be funny.
Yeah.
If all of us looked alike, it wouldn't be nothing interesting about it. When you see different looking people, you know, like when you see somebody really bigger than you, you're like, oh my God, what did he eat? You know? Bruh, slow down. You know what I'm saying? But it needs to be different. You know? I see some strange people here, man. It's some strange people in Sacramento.
Yeah. Mm.
Oh, and there's some country stuff here too. Now, I'm from the South. When I saw a sofa on the front porch.
Do you know man, where you were at? Were you like far away from here?
We was over there by Fox News.
Yeah, that checks out.
A sofa is on the front porch. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Then I bought a new sofa, put the Obit on the front porch.
That's right.
Put a chain on it and made a swing sofa.
It was in the hood.
Come on, man.
It was in the hood.
Yeah. Man, Fox News was gated up like we're going to a penitentiary. Look here. I said, what is y'all got all these bars up? The lady said, yeah, have you looked across the street yet?
Yeah. It was in the hood. Yeah.
No, so, you know.
My family grew up over there. I went to school over there.
Really?
He was in the hood.
Yeah, man, that's cool. The hood don't bother me, though, man. Yeah. But I wouldn't want to live there anyway. The hood I grew up in, it was an area in Atlanta called The Bluff. Mm. And I wouldn't move there to save my life. Mm. I wouldn't. If they gave me $1 million home, 24-hour security, I would not move back over there. Mm. But see, now they doing the, they done took it over. What they call it, gentrification.
Yeah.
Get, white guys are jarking. I'm like, you
walking dogs you and everything.
You don't know where you at, bro. The stupid people are still over here. So be careful. You know what I'm saying? But yeah. I drive through there and just look, and I be like, wow. And people see you. I don't care. I was in my. I have a Sprinter van, tinted windows, the windshield tinted. You can't even see the dude say, "That go Bruce right there." He saw me in the Sprinter, and I'm sitting in the back. How did you see me in the Sprinter? So it's just, you know, it's just, you got to get out the hood. You got to get out. You can't stay there.
When entertainers or anybody come through here, I don't know if you know, this is a sports show that you're on right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know it.
You a sports fan?
Yeah, man. Who your football team?
Come on, man. You see
okay.
Is.
Well, you see
what
it is.
I don't have one.
Okay, because if you said Dallas, it would have been a fight of him. I'd have started a fight. You Dallas ain't.
No, I don't do that. Okay. No, I don't do that.
Okay.
Don't do that.
Look,
don't do that.
In a past life. He ain't with him no more. He not with him no more.
Yeah, pre.
Oh my God, they terrible.
Pre Colin Kaepernick, I was.
You ain't gonna believe. Believe who I was. I like Green Bay.
Come on, Bruce.
I like Green Bay. Come on, man. You can put me out of the studio, but it's okay.
Really?
And I'm from Atlanta, and I don't care nothing about the Falcons.
So I want to be clear. Your two quarterbacks are Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers.
I like Love.
Well, Jordan Love don't count. He hates Jordan Love, but we rock.
But let me tell you, man.
Good.
I went to Pittsburgh last year. And they invited me out to the camp, and man, it was Love. Mm-hmm. I mean, the coach, I didn't realize he was a fan. Mm-hmm. He brought me in. I'm in there with the players. They ain't not changing clothes, butt naked. I'm like, oh, bro, wait a minute now. Put some clothes on. Put a towel around. You know what I'm saying? I ain't used to this, bro. You know what I'm saying? But it was Love. And the owner walks in. You would never thought he was the owner. Mm-hmm. Had on some Hun boots, short pants, old Hun jacket. But when I touched his hand, it was soft as cotton. This brother ain't did.
It does not work.
He don't even know what a broom is. You know what I'm saying? But he was nice. He said, thanks for coming, man.
Yeah.
They had me a Bruce. They made me a Bruce Pittsburgh.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Founded in 1964, Fremont Bank understands the difference 60 years can make. It's the difference found in the details. The difference between customers and trusted neighbors. The difference between preparing for the coming weeks and planning for the coming years. The difference between serving a community and serving your community. So what difference does 60 years make? All the difference in the world. Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Hass avocados or mangoes, 4 for $5 or $1.25 each. Signature Farms boneless, skinless chicken breasts or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And enjoy an exclusive digital deal on Sargento shredded or sliced cheeses. 5 to 8 ounce selected varieties, $1.97 each, limit 4. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Esa-Pekka Salonen's final concerts as music director of the San Francisco Symphony bring legendary artists and epic music to Davies Symphony Hall, culminating in Mahler's electrifying Second Symphony. Tickets at sfsymphony.org.
Jersey, you know, and they just loved the coach, man. He was so cool. And I'm going to tell you what's crazy, Ricker. It was a dude, he had, they brought him to Pittsburgh, right? Mm. So even if they don't play, they get $80,000 a month. Hmm. Right, all they gotta do is come to practice. He called the dude, said, "Man, where you at?" He's, "Oh, I need to be there." "You're supposed to be at practice." So the one, and so the dude said, "Man, this dude here didn't show up. He's supposed to be at practice, you know." And somebody whispered his ear. He said, "He just cut it."
How could you play
$80,000 a month? All you gotta do is come to practice. Come on, man. When I was a stripper, I didn't make money. Yeah. Like that.
Hey, we appreciate you, man.
Hey, man, like, thank you, man. I mean, I appreciate you guys having me on, man, because I'm actually a cool dude, man.
No doubt.
Very cool dude.
Cool dude, man.
Oh, no my bad. Well, tonight?
Tonight, yeah, punch tomorrow, yeah, and thank Sunday. You. Friday, thank Saturday, you. Sunday, two shows Friday, two Saturday, one Sunday, because Monday I am out like 8 tracks.
Yeah, but them,
so I'm letting everybody know you need to come to the show because I've been here. Ain't nothing to do.
Them say, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Come on, man. They closed the Walgreens across the street from the store. I don't know. Last time I was there, everybody.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Everybody was stealing. I'm like, look, let me get something.
That's hilarious. You know what I'm saying?
The Walgreens is closed. How does Walgreens close?
Yeah.
How does Walgreens close? You know what I'm saying?
They said enough.
But the homeless people out here, they got game for you. They put that look on you. You know, they be, if you ever notice, just pull up, they looking normal. But then when they see you pull up at the light, that look come down. They got the sign.
You out there by that Punchline Comedy Club too? Oh, you're gonna get, you gonna get those.
Yeah. I had a dude tell me, he said, "Big man ain't ate in 2 weeks." I said, "You still live?" I said, "Man, ain't ate in 2 hours. I'm about to die."
The legend, Bruce, Punchline Comedy Club. Two shows tonight. Two shows Saturday. My man's doing a show on Sunday. Again, man, you are a living legend. We appreciate you so much. We'll come back. We'll get started here. Steelo and KC brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. We need like maybe 2-5 minutes to get on KSFM at 3. You think you could pull that off? Yeah? Okay.
That's why he's the GOAT.
That's easy.
Look, man. Jesse, like, give me a challenge.
I just sent you the full interview right now. Like,
give me a challenge.
Let's go, man. Come on, man.
We want to try to get it on in the 3 o'clock hour on KSL.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll work on that right now. Yeah.
All right, man. We welcome you in here. I'm Damian Boiling.
The ultimate needle mover in God Mode himself.
He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
And as Bruce said, we are live.
You know, he said, out Fox 40. I don't know where I was. Oh, by Fox 40.
Yeah, that checks out. That checks out.
Oh, man. Shout out to my people over in Fruit Ridge, man. Off of Fruit Ridge over there, man. Shout out to that whole crew, man. Fruit Ridge Community Center, everything.
I'm going to have to post a yesterday and today picture. I know I got a picture of me and Bruce. Had to have been 20 years ago. Had to have been. I got a bad, I know what I'm wearing. It's a bad Fat Farm sweatshirt.
Fat Farm sweater.
Like I'm positive that's what it was. I know I got this joint in here somewhere.
Shout out Fat Farm.
Yeah, well, shout out Fat Farm indeed. Shout out Bruce, man.
Yeah, man.
I'm in the studio on the phone and Complex is calling, but I'm talking to the person above Complex. I'm like, I can't switch over, so Katie's next to me. I'm like, hey, can you text Complex? Tell him I'm on the phone with Miller. Mm-hmm. And so she does, and she goes, Bruce is here. I was like, oh, man. Okay. And so, again, I'm talking to the boss.
Yeah.
And now we've hit the stage where it's like, uh-huh. That's what I'm doing. Okay. And now I'm starting to sweat because I know Bruce is out here waiting. It's not even 12 o'clock yet. He's supposed to be here at 1. I'm like, all right, we could do this. Let's go. And, that was fun, man.
That was good. That was good stuff. Great stuff, man. Great stuff.
Yes, indeed. There is a lot to talk about. I'm trying to find this picture. I know I got it in here somewhere. Me and Floyd Mayweather. Me and Floyd. Yeah, how about that? Like, Miami. Okay. MTV Video Music Awards.
Oh, yeah.
Me, Kanye, and Common, Ice-T and his wife.
They should send us to the VMAs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Man, MTV does it right.
Man, send us out here, man.
I got to find the VMAs. This picture.
The AMAs are coming up, too. They can send us there.
The what?
The American Music
Awards. Oh. Nah, I'll say this. I've done the Grammys. I've done the Radio Music Awards. MTV is legit. Mm. The stars are out at MTV. Mm. Like, Usher was there. Like, you'll get a lot of, you go to, like, Radio Music Awards, you go to that stuff, you'll get a lot of the guy who appeared on the third season of Real Housewives of Potomac. Like, that's, you'll get a lot of that. If you're lucky, you might get one. MTV was stars.
Yeah.
Like I said, it was Usher, it was, like, Kanye was there, Common was there. Yeah. I interviewed Lil Wayne that day. But remember, this was, what year was Katrina? Four?
Yeah.
It was the year we had gotten to Florida as Katrina was making its way to the Gulf Coast. Mm. So whatever year that was for Wayne, this was how Wayne talked into the microphone. Jesse, you think KC talking into the mic is bad? Oh, my God. And I'm like, we're talking, and Wayne didn't talk much.
Yeah.
And I think he was with Trina at the time. Mm. And we had talked to Trina like 10 minutes earlier. Mm. Yeah, man, it was MTV. MTV's the one.
I didn't even know MTV played videos, to be honest. I didn't know that. That's what Wayne would say.
Wayne would say a lot.
I didn't know they played videos.
That boy Wayne got very selective memory. Very, very selective.
Wait, did you know Lollipop was going to go number one? I actually didn't even know Lollipop was going to be a song.
I didn't know that was my song. I heard it. I was like, yo, this is fire. Really? Who did this?
That's my song? I didn't even know that.
Hey, Wayne, do you regret taking that picture with Donald Trump?
I don't regret anything. Okay.
No, I don't. Yeah,
you remember that. Oh,
no.
All right.
No, I don't remember. I remember where I was. I was wearing a Gucci. Why was Wayne in Green Bay last night, by the way?
Because he's a Packers fan.
Why?
I don't know why. He's always been a Packers fan, though.
Okay.
Well, so good for Roger Weezy. Was like, hey, you want to come out to the draft?
Sorry about the Super Bowl. Do you want to come? Okay. Oh, there's that picture right there.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah, I hit him with the people's eyebrow, too. Oh, you, my God. This picture was, God.
What's the belt buckle? We got a belt buckle?
Nah, side? It's covered by this ill-fitting sweatshirt. Brutal.
We got to see it.
Nah, this is rough.
Because, well, once again.
This picture was taken on June 7th. 2003.
Well, once again, we have to go to that time. You was probably fitting at that time.
Probably, but God damn, this thing don't fit for nothing. This is like a 4X.
That's how we got down.
I got. I'm gonna get this on the screen.
That's how we got down.
I'll just turn the computer around for those that are watching. Oh man, my bad. This is a tough look for your boy. This is how much I love. The chatty house. I'm gonna put this picture up. This is a tough look for your boy. But
if you love your customers, you have to try RingCentral. No matter the size of your business, every call, every text, every meeting, every customer conversation matters. With RingCentral, you get a reliable business phone, a modern contact center, and built-in AI across every conversation, so you can focus on the moments that matter. See for yourself at ringcentral.com.
Ring Central, intelligent communications you can trust.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning. Because we started together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Man, Ski, who was out there, was a big wrestling fan.
Yeah, you was fitted, bro. Stop. You was fitted. Yeah, you was fitted.
Man.
You was fitted.
That's crazy.
That's how he got down.
That's 22 years ago. Wow. 22 years
later. Interviewing Bruce.
Interviewing Bruce. That's crazy.
Oh, man.
And his man Ski, who was out there, he was with him 22 years ago. Mm. He was with him then.
That's what's up.
Ski was a, that's what I remember about Ski. He was a big wrestling fan.
Should have asked him about WrestleMania, about The Rock.
I think if I remember right, Ski could actually do a Rock impression, not like, you know.
I see the shots that you're taking. I understand.
Not like you know who.
Well, look, I see the shots that you're taking. I understand it. I get it. No. But look here. I've got 6 weeks. 6 weeks. I told John. I told Cody. You got 6 weeks to get this done. And we will get this done. You don't need me. My job is done. The finals boss job is done. You don't need me here anymore. It gets better every day.
It doesn't. It actually doesn't. It actually doesn't.
I told you, close your eyes, listen, and you'll be like, yo, The Rock is here.
I'm not doing that. I am absolutely not doing that. Two quarterbacks went in the first round yesterday.
Did we say 1.5?
The number was 1.5. I took more. Mm-hmm. I think everybody else.
I took less.
Took less.
Yeah.
And it was Jackson Dart. That it was the Giants who traded back in, and they went with Jackson Dart. Shedeur Sanders is still on the board. There seem to be endless possibilities for what could happen with Shedeur Sanders. I saw someone in the chat say, Schefter's on TV saying there's going to be another quarterback taken before Shedeur Sanders is taken.
Jalen Milroe, probably.
Yeah, and that's probably who it is. Okay. I apologize. I want to use a radio word. Sorry. I want to get the clocks back on track.
There we go.
I have a lot to say, if you don't mind, about the conversations around Shedeur Sanders this morning.
Absolutely.
For those watching, you see I got the fresh cut. That means I was at the barbershop. That means Fox was playing. I have an opinion.
I'd love to hear it.
We'll talk about Shedeur. We'll talk about the draft. We'll talk about the San Francisco 49ers. Can't wait to get your thoughts on that. We had to move some things around. Normally, Kyle is here with us. It's Leezy Friday. We bring Leezy in here
Leezy
with us.
Friday.
We're going to come back.
Where's the pizza?
You ate some of the best pizza you ever had yesterday.
You should have went back there today.
No. It's D'Lo and Casey. We're going to, yo, do not go anywhere. We've got a lot to talk about. It's D'Lo and Casey here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. All right, we've got a lot to do here. You have 30 seconds, Leezy, to explain yourself.
Yes,
starting
this
right
is some bull.
Now.
Jesse, start the timer.
This
you
is
got
some bull.
The timer is running.
As Dion would say, this is some bull jump.
You've
right
got
here.
20 seconds.
Okay. I'm on the clock like Shedeur right now. Guys.
15.
Okay, so I'm growing out my hair, as you know. Normally, I wear my 102.5 beanie. I'm driving into work. I couldn't find my beanie, so I stopped at the store, and I got a different beanie that's blue and yellow.
Not enough.
Yeah,
nope.
What
get
the
out.
Hell?
Go
look,
find,
there's a lot going
go
on
find,
there.
Go to Jackie and you, find a KSFM
you
beanie.
You made the
come
choice
back.
To buy that?
Shout out to Liz. I was looking around and the guy was like, hey, who's your team? And I was like, oh, brother, I don't have a team. And he's like, well, you want this one over
nope.
here?
No.
I was like,
wait,
I guess.
Wait. Nope. Yeah, no, you, no. Were, wait, you were at Liz no. and all they had was a Warriors one?
Go get a 102.5 beanie. Go get an A beanie. Go get a 98 Rock beanie and come back.
Get the hell out of here.
He really walked in it. See, he was slick. When he came in here to take the Bruce picture, he ain't had that on. He didn't have it on when he was out there, you know, doing little interviews. Oh, no. He got cute. Dug into his little bag and put that stupid, talking about he growing his hair out. Did his hair braided?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey.
No, like Jesse said, that's your boy, man.
Yeah,
you brought him to the party.
I like his hoodie had a hood, of course. Like you could have threw that on. He's a horrible like storyteller. He just snitched on himself. He said, "Oh yeah, I was at a store like it was Walgreens." Then he says, "I was at Lids." You mean to tell me they don't have King's hoodies or King's beanies there?
Were you trying to lock the door?
Oh yeah, those don't lock.
Is he trying to lock the studio?
That lock just goes in a circle.
Yo, that'd be hilarious. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Now you don't look like an idiot, first of all.
You could have done that before.
My
Once
bad.
Again, what the helly?
All right. Get your headphones on. Get settled in.
All right.
Can you hear us now?
I can hear
you.
You
were at Lids?
Yeah, I was at Lids.
And Lids only had Warriors beanies.
I mean, they had other ones, but
they didn't have Kings?
Yeah, well, I'm saying, were you in Loomis? Like where were you at?
Yeah, where
I'm
was
sure
his
they
lids
had
at?
Kings.
Where was his lids?
I'm coming from Arden. I just moved over there, so I just stopped at Arden. You don't want to be in that mall too long. So I was trying to get in and out.
You're making it really difficult.
I'm sorry. Casey, we were just
I've been in that Lids multiple times. There's a whole Kings section, bro.
What was the logic between picking the Warriors one over the Kings one? Because I know they had a Kings beanie, so we don't have to go there. We can just move past that.
What? You're wearing all black. Hey, Casey. They got a black Kings beanie.
Yeah, black and purple.
It's like you with the hats, Casey. Sometimes you're just wearing a hat. That don't mean you're associated with the team. You're just wearing a hat sometimes.
But there's just some hats you don't wear. Yeah.
You're fighting a losing battle.
I am.
Stop fighting.
Okay.
Yo, this is crazy, bro.
I'm like the Warriors in game two. I just go down. It's tough.
Again, this is all just kind of Damian's fault as well. We tried to stop this weeks ago.
Yeah, well, yeah.
We did.
No, we tried. You're right.
We tried to prevent this.
We tried to shame him months ago.
Yeah, and Dan was like, hey, live your life, bro. And look, he lived his life. And look where that got us today.
I still haven't made it official yet. This is not even a soft launch or anything like that.
God damn it.
We're not there.
You have to stop talking.
Okay.
You're making this so much worse.
Okay. Already gave Joe Lacob his money.
Man, sure did.
Yeah. Yeah, this is crazy, bro. I had high hopes.
Believe me. I know. It's tough.
I had high hopes, man. Tough. I believed in you. We all believed in you. How dare you?
Okay, Tyra.
Yep.
So the story of round two, which I guess is the same as the story of round one, is the fact that one of the marquee players from college football, the son of one of the most charismatic and flamboyant broadcasters, coaches, and football players we've ever seen, Shedeur Sanders, who on a lot of draft experts' big boards were top five, top 10, certainly near the top of his position group. Shedeur Sanders was not drafted yesterday. And it kind of started to feel yesterday like that was going to be the case. You started to hear a lot of noise. You hear things about attitude. You hear things about his approach and interviews and all of these different things. And I was listening to Colin Cowherd today.
Don't do that.
Look, I was at the shop. I'm a guest. Mm-hmm. I'm a patron. And he talked about the wide receiver from Ohio State who moved up draft boards because he's so likable. Mm-hmm. And these general managers just fell in love with the kid and they loved him and they drafted him. And they think he's a great ball player. And I believe the line he used was an A++++ human. It's like, man, that's cool. And then Cowherd starts talking about this idea that really just boils down to conforming. And this idea that you're supposed to be humbled and grateful by the experience, just by the opportunity to be drafted in the NFL. And that you're supposed to take this, aw, shucks approach to all of these wonderful things that are happening to you. As if you're not a part of all of the wonderful things that are happening to you. As if Cam and Travis and the rest of those guys are just really nice guys who the Jacksonville Jaguars wanted to, you know, wager some draft capital to have in their locker room. No, they're really good football players. But for some reason, Shedeur he's looked at a little bit differently. And I don't think Shedeur is looked at differently just because of his demeanor and his attitude. He's looked at a little bit differently because the demeanor and the attitude of his dad. And the idea that we're just supposed to say, oh, man, Mr. Kraft, Mr. York, Mr. This, thank you so much. No. I'm the one. We're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to have this. We're not supposed to. It's what was Bruce just talking about? We're all different. Yep. But at the NFL draft, we're all supposed to be the same. And we're supposed to be measured by how nice we are and how these interviews go. How much stuff was out there about your boy in San Francisco before the draft? No one cared, though. Yeah. No one cared for multiple reasons. One, they agree with it. Two, and you already know where this is going. Players that look like 97, almost said 95, 97, are judged differently than players like Shedeur Sanders. Mm-hmm. And to listen to someone like Colin Cowherd talk about how you have to be nice and you have to conform and you have to be humble to be drafted in the NFL is absurd. Because he's right. This is exactly what we were talking about yesterday. They don't want individuals. They don't want stars. They don't want personalities. They want you to come in and blend in while simultaneously elevating their star, their SF logo, their Patriot logo, whatever. You are brought in to elevate their logo, their brand. Not yours. The conversation around Shador right now for a player who is as talented as, if you genuinely believe that Shador Sanders has no talent, then that's a different conversation. There is not a single person I have come across who respectively talks about this league who agrees with you. But if that's how you feel, that's how you feel. Shador feels like an incredibly unique situation. And I asked you yesterday, is the NFL trying to make a point? And you said, I don't think so. A day later, listening to the discourse, I think they are. And I'm going to give you one other reason why. My morning got a little thrown there at the end, so please correct this if it's wrong. I'm almost positive it's not. It's a bad approach to radio. I'm going to try to look it up as we're talking. The Baltimore Ravens, the last pick of the that Lamar Jackson draft, mm-hmm. Did they move back into the first round to get Lamar Jackson?
I don't think so. I think he's a second-round pick, I believe.
Lamar Jackson is not a second-round pick. Mm. He was the very last pick of the first round.
Okay,
maybe. The reason this is standing out to me is because when you're taken, because there's a lot of talk. There's a lot of talk, is he going to be one of the first handful of picks taken today? Mm. And I think about...
Yeah, Ravens traded up for the Eagles pick to get him.
Thank you. You know why they did that? Because with the first round pick, you got 5 years. Mm-hmm. You got 5 years you've got that extra year with a first round pick that you don't have with a second round pick. They made a decision. I think we like Lamar Jackson. We got Joe Flacco here. I think we like Lamar. Let's move back. This gives us a little extra time. Let's move back up into the draft and let's grab him. Mm-hmm. If Cleveland or one of these teams drafting early in the second round, draft them in the second round. What a wasted opportunity. You would have had to trade minimal assets to get back into the bottom of the first round. Trading for, it's not about whether you could have drafted him where you are. Mm-hmm. It's about trading for another year to determine what he can be for you. A catastrophic miss by Pittsburgh, New Orleans, and I'm not going to say Cleveland should have taken him. Cleveland had a great draft, in my opinion. Cleveland should have found a way with all of those extra access they got from Jacksonville. If they wind up going the Shador Sanders route, they should have found a way to get back in at 30, 31, 32, somewhere in that category. In that regard, it's only a miss if they take Shador right now. I think they missed in the first round if they do it right now. Pittsburgh, no excuse. New Orleans, no excuse.
I have no idea what Pittsburgh was thinking. Yeah. I have no clue what they were thinking. What you laid out is, I agree 100%. Probably on the side of you now, saying, yeah, they're trying to make an example out of Shador and anybody in the future who thinks of coming in the NFL like Shador. Think twice is what they were trying to say and make that example of. One of the things that frustrates me, and I talked about it a little bit with James, is this notion of the way Shador behaves in an interview, Dion lurking, you know, the superstar mentality and all this other stuff as a reason as to why you wouldn't draft Shador. If that's your reason, that's your reason. But I also want to point out, and I don't want to disrespect these guys, but let's just be real. These guys are wrong all the time. All the time. These NFL GMs and executives, they're almost like baseball players where they'll be right on 3 out of 10 picks. And they had a great draft. Found 3 starters. You were wrong 7 times. Mm. Like the Kings, the 49ers have 11 picks. Really, and I'm just being real with it. If they find four starters out of this draft, I'll look back at this and be like, yo, that was good. They found four starters. Yeah. That means they were wrong seven times. And we sitting up here like, well, these guys know. You know, they know. No, they taking a more educated guess than we are. That's essentially what they're doing. They're taking a more educated guess based on the information they've been given or they have access to or maybe their philosophy on what they believe makes a good football player. Mm-hmm. Pardon me if I'm not going to just fall in line with them and be like, oh, well, if Shador didn't go in the first round and nobody wanted to pick him, you know, you got to listen to these execs. They got more information. They still don't know. Mm. They still wrong all the time. So I look at what happened with him yesterday, and there's a couple different things going on. Number one, what happened to him. Number two, the reaction that people had to Shador not being in the first round. A lot of celebrating.
Yeah.
A lot of celebrating going on. And that also lends to the fact that this is more than just football. Obviously, there wasn't executives out there celebrating. I'm not saying that, or at least publicly. But a lot of discourse with people who follow this league, who report on this league, you know, who had a certain demeanor about Shador not making it. Mm-hmm. And I'd be crazy to think that is only restricted to the people that follow the league. I'm pretty sure there are people inside the league who make decisions who are just as happy that Shador didn't get what he wanted last night.